So today we're continuing on in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's version, it's Sermon on the Plain. Different sermon. Okay, so Sermon on the Plain. This is the third week we've been just covering this sermon. He said a lot in it, didn't he? We're not even going in depth, we're just skimming over the surface. There is so much in this Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. And today we're looking at how Jesus is teaching his disciples to live as his disciples. Again, there's just some more direct, unapologetic instruction and direction. And today there's a little touch of humour thrown in. Jesus had a sense of humour. I think we forget that sometimes as we just skim through the Gospels. He was hilarious. People would have giggled so much when he talked about a plank sticking out your eye. So there is so much in this. I've actually just done 3 points today which I want us to get out of this message. Disciples of Jesus ought to have good sight, so good spiritual sight, eyesight is the illustration, good sight, good fruit, we're all called to bear good fruit, and good foundations, building our lives on the rock. So disciples of Jesus should have three things, good sight, good fruit, and good foundations. That's where we're going. So beginning with sight, spiritual sight. Jesus said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Won't they both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher." He's saying that a student should never think they know more than the teacher. And these were said in days when there wasn't a library or the internet full of things. I think a lot of students are smarter than their teachers now, but they have all this information at their fingertips. But this is a different era. And like, remember Jesus' disciples, they weren't even educated people. They were fishermen and just people off the street, really, common folk. They didn't have an education. They didn't follow a rabbi around. So Jesus is really, you know, keeping it simple for them and talking to them, saying, you know, you need to actually learn from the teacher to be able to teach others. And that has been significant for me. It really hit home this week. I think always as a preacher, I need to be in the Word. I need to be spending time with God, or I'm going to have nothing to talk to you about on Sunday or Wednesday and any other day, unless we actually spend time as Jesus' disciples, sitting at his feet, reading his word, take it on. We are never going to have anything to share with others of value for his kingdom. We need to learn from him before we can teach others how to be disciples. We need to be disciples who can make disciples. So disciples must learn before they can become teachers of others. So we all need to be good listeners to Jesus. Now the same principle goes with sinning. So Jesus moves on to that in the next section. He says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" That's a bit of hyperbole and a sense of humour there. It's pretty funny. That was actually a common topic for rabbis to talk about. But for Jesus to say it like this in this context, he probably would have got a giggle from his hearers. He says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And so, again, Jesus is saying, unless you practice what you preach, unless you do yourself first, keep check on yourself, be honest with yourself first, you have nothing to offer someone else. You're a hypocrite if you're pointing out the sin in someone else's life when you actually do the same thing. And I think we're all guilty of this. Many times, years ago, I think I found myself a couple of times just saying to people, "Oh, you know, I think you're doing this wrong," or like, you're not even saying it to them, thinking, "That is so simple, I would never do that." But 3 weeks later, I'm doing it too. And I'm just thinking, I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I've been so aware of it. I'm careful not to say that. I don't judge in the first place. But I think that we all need to be very honest about how good we are or not and how much sin is in our own lives. Because remember last week, Jesus said, "You'll be judged in the same way that you judge others." And just on that note of judging, I just want to remind us that complaining about others is judging them. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I'm not judging people, I'm just having a little complaint and a whinge." When we complain about others, we are judging them. And we'll be judged in the same measure as the way we judge others. So that little quote from John Maxwell from a book that I read years and years ago stuck with me. It said, Bob has a problem with everyone. Usually Bob is the problem. When Bob has a problem with everyone, Bob is a problem. That stuck with me because my ex-father-in-law's name was Bob, and he just had it just really lent itself to that. It's always stuck. But yeah, if you judge or complain about others, look at yourself first, because usually it's actually more of a reflection on you than on what is in them. And usually we only see or get annoyed about things in others that we actually do or possess ourselves. It's probably rubbing us up the wrong way for a reason. So before we go pointing the fingers with, you know, all those other fingers pointing back at us, like our mum used to say, she said, don't point your finger, you've got four fingers, three, pointing back at you. So if you see your brother or sister sinning, and you feel you need to say something, can I encourage us all to go to God first, take it to God and say, God, I'm concerned about this. Show me if there's anything sinful in me. Like, am I doing this as well? Do I need to repent of that first? How do I get right with you? Get the plank out your own eye first, and then you can see more clearly to help your brother or sister with whatever their issue is. You can say, look, you know, I've been through this lately and I'd like to help you with that if you're interested. Be honest with yourself and don't think that you are better than that. That better than everyone else, we pass judgment on them. There's nothing like thinking you're really good when you live by yourself. I did that for a couple of years and then my kids moved back in and I realised that, yeah, maybe I'm not really as good as I thought I was. There's nothing like other people to point out your flaws. So keep a humble and realistic view of yourself. Be humble. An honest view of ourselves, and then we can see to help others clearly. Disciples have good sight. Disciples of Jesus also bear good fruit. We're looking in verses 43 to 45. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the mouth, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I'll read that last sentence again. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, I know a lot of people that I would call good. Do you know a lot of people that you'd say they're good people? They may or may not be Christians. I know a lot of people who I consider to be good people who aren't Christian. In fact, there's a lot of good people out there who aren't Christians, and a lot of people who say they're Christian and don't act very good at all. I'm just thinking of someone in mind from a church that I was at a few years ago who was on the reading roster before I knew what he was really like, and I took him off Quick Smart because I know that he was in the bank one day abusing tellers and yelling at everyone. He just was not bearing good fruit in his life out in the community as a bad witness. I'd hate for those Bendigo Bank people to come to church and find this man reading from the pulpit one day. I said, no. If you're bearing such bad negative fruit and influencing others in such a negative way, you're no use in the kingdom of God. I said, you can sort that out and we can talk about it later, but for now, you just need to address your heart attitude, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we're judged on what we say. Now, if we have pure good hearts, we'll speak good things into people's lives. A timely word, you know, that words that build up and provide what is needed. If we're right with God and we've got good hearts, good attitudes, good minds, we speak good into others' lives and build fruit in their lives too. Not only will our lives bear fruit, but it'll overflow onto others and bear fruit in others. A timely word. Can you think of a time when someone said something positive to you and it influenced your life so much that it just spurred you on to love and good deeds and to moving forward, and it's life building. Whereas a word that is negative on someone and like puts them down, the Bible says if you call someone a fool, you're in the danger of the pits of hell yourself, because you're condemning that person to you. You're stifling their growth, yeah, and just helping them not to grow. You're being negative, and it's not fruitful at all. It's actually destructive. And so we need to be careful of what we're saying, and what we're saying should reflect what's in our hearts. I remember witnessing to a guy in a park one time. He was homeless, And another guy was just trying to help this homeless guy as well. We got talking and we connected. And in the end, you know, I met him at the gym. He went to the same gym as me. And we just got talking a lot. And he was really open to the things of God. He had a bit of depression. He'd often say, look, could you skip your gym workout today? We'll just go for a walk. I want to talk about, you know, my depression and you know, how can God help? And does he really love me? And we had these great conversations. So God was really doing something in his life. Then one day I was walking with another friend who is a Christian. And we came across this guy in the park, the guy who I was witnessing to. And we just, the conversation turned to Jesus, as it always did. But my friend, who's a Christian, comes out with, just blurts out of nowhere, if you are not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. And I just said to her that, like, after the guy left, because he made a quick dash for it. He was not hanging around for more conversation. And to be honest, he never, ever sought conversation with me again after that, which is very sad. But I just said to her, That's not how you love people into the kingdom. That is a judgmental attitude. It's condemnation, and we need to be loving people into the kingdom. If your heart is full of the love of God, that will flow over towards others, and they will feel loved, and they'll be drawn into the love of God. So going around telling people they're going to hell, that's condemnation. That's not good fruit. You're not going to get good fruit from that. And I just challenged her. She wouldn't back down. She thought she did the right thing, that was the truth. But I said, the truth needs to be spoken in love. The truth needs to be shown in love. So let love season our words. Let love produce the fruit in us and in others that needs to be produced. And we can only do that if we're made new in Jesus Christ. We can only produce good fruit from a good heart that is made good. Because none of us are good alone, right? That word good, none of us are good. Jesus talked to a rich man. Remember that rich man came to Jesus and he said, good Lord, what must I do to be saved? What good thing must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good alone. But, you know, if you want to, you know, receive the kingdom of God, obey the commands. And he goes, well, which commands? And Jesus rattles them off. He goes, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, don't give false testimony, honour your mother and father, and love your neighbour as yourself. He says, all these I've kept since I was a young boy. What do I still lack? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, because you'll have treasure in heaven, don't worry about the money, and then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. And Jesus was sad to watch him walk away. Jesus saw the good in this guy, wanted him to follow him and be a disciple. But this man loved money more than the kingdom of God. And Jesus says you can't have two gods. You'll love one and hate the other. You can't serve both God and money. And so I say to Christians, you need to pay your taxes. You need to be faithful with the little things and the money, as well as it flows over to everything else. But Jesus said to his disciples after that man walked away, he said, truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, well, who can be saved? See, the people of those days thought the rich were blessed by God. You know, they had all the blessings, the rich were blessed. God favoured them. But Jesus is saying, no, the kingdom is different. And Jesus said to them, after they said, who can be saved? Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. It's only possible with God for us to become good. It's only possible because of God for us to be saved. It's only possible because of God and what Jesus did on our behalf that we can actually become truly good. And new creatures inside to naturally bear fruit. If we make good on the inside, we will naturally bear good fruit. That makes sense, yeah? Because if we're still bad on the inside, we can still do good things, but it's like growing grapes from thorn bushes or, you know, figs from briar bushes or whatever the scriptures said there, word for word. I don't have it in front of me, but when we are truly good on the inside, we can bear good fruits. So let Jesus change us continually, more and more into his image, into his likeness, He makes us new. His Spirit lives in us, transforms us from the inside out, and that fruit will show itself as we become more and more like him. So disciples of Jesus have good sight and have good fruit. They also have good foundations. Let me read this last section again. Beginning at verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my word and does not put it into practice is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation, like on sand, like a sandcastle. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So what's that saying is, if you build your life on the foundation of God's word, all the storms of life can come at you from any which way, but you'll stand, you'll have good foundations, you'll be grounded, you'll have an anchor. You won't be tossed about on the sea, you won't be crumbling like a sandcastle. And so we really need to be applying God's words to our lives to have that good foundation, the good fruit, and the good sight. Jesus says, put these words of mine into practice. And don't come saying to me, Lord, Lord, if you're not actually going to do what I say. And so in closing, I just want to say that none of us will ever be perfect or really good this side of eternity. But it ought to be our soul's desire, our heart's desire, to seek to become more and more like Jesus and live out his words more and more by the power of his Holy Spirit living within us. You know, Spurgeon once said something like this. This is not a quote, it's in my own words. He said, if you really want to be unhappy, be a half-hearted Christian. So if you're not all in and reading the word and applying it to your life and enjoying fellowship and spurring one another on to love and good deeds, and you're just sitting on the edges, you won't enjoy the Christian life. You're not all in, and you miss out on the blessings and the benefits. And you can't really enjoy the ways of the world either, because you know you shouldn't be living like that, so you're not really embracing it, enjoying it. Carnal Christians are the most unhappy people on earth. And so if you really want to be happy and to be blessed and have good foundations and good sight and bear good fruit, ground yourself in the words. And we have opportunity to lean in even further now that we're going to do a Lenten study in the Beatitudes. If you want to join a small group, I encourage you to do that. If you want to study on your own at home or even in your own little groups with your friends or family, I encourage you to do that. Just get in the words. Get in the words, spend time with other Christians and encourage one another. Help each other bear fruit. So build your life on good foundations, the word of God. Then you'll bear good fruit in season and out of season because your roots are grounded in it. Christ's followers always build on the good foundation of God's word. The Lord be with you.